Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakya Desha Tharvine. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26. King Pranarjuna goes to the forest to hunt, text number 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Avalokam
Nila
Alaka Alidi Upaskritam Tunansam
Na
Svanam Vadarshaya Manasvini Vagu Vakyam Safam Mukam Sadati Subragana Rubara
Safam Mukam Sadati Subragana
Rubara Rida Vilamba Vilasadda Sisavalokam
Rida Vilamba Vilasadda Sisavalokam
Nila Lakali Virupaskra Kanuna Samna
Nila Lakali Virupaskra
Svanam Padarshaya Manasvini Vagu Vakyam
Svanam Padarshaya Manasvini
Vagu Vakyam Satvam Mukam Sudati Subranuraga Bara
Satvam Mukam Sudati Subranuraga Bara
Vrida Vilamba Vilasandasi Savalokam
Vrida Vilamba
Pastrakanuna Samna
Nila Lakali Virupastrakanuna Samna
Svanam Pradarsha Mananas Vinivalgu Vakyam
Svanam Pradarsha Mananas Vinivalgu Vakyam
So
that
you my wife Tvam
you
Mukam,
your face.
Sudati,
with beautiful teeth.
Subru,
with beautiful eyebrows.
Anuraga,
attachment.
Bara,
loaded by.
Rida,
feminine shyness.
Vilamba.
Hanging down.
Vilasat.
Shining.
Asita.
Smiling.
Avalokam.
With glances.
Nila.
Bluish.
Alaka.
With hair.
Alibi.
Be like.
Upaskritam. Thus being beautiful.
Unasam.
With a raised nose.
Na.
To me.
Svanam.
Who am yours?
Pradarshaya.
Please show.
Manasvini.
Almost thoughtful lady,
O most thoughtful lady,
Vajravakyam, with sweet words.
With sweet words.
Translation in Tripur. By the divine grace, Om Vishnu Bhagavata Mahamsa Pritipajakacharya Astatarasadashishi Maresi Bhakti Vadantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada
Vijay.
My dear wife, your teeth are very beautifully set, and your attractive features make you appear very thoughtful. Kindly give up your anger. Merciful upon me, and please smile upon me with loving attachment. When I see a smile on your beautiful face, and when I see your hair, which is as beautiful as the color blue, and see your raised nose and hear your sweet talks, you'll become more beautiful to me, and thus attract me and oblige me. You are my most respected mistress.
Wow.
Talk about Therefore, an effeminate husband, simply being attracted by the external beauty of his wife, tries to become her most obedient servant. Sri Padshankaracharya is therefore advised that we should not become attracted by a lump of flesh and blood. The story is told that at one time a man very much attracted the beautiful woman wooed the woman in such a way that she devised a plan to show him the ingredients of her beauty. The woman made a date to see him, and before seeing him, he took a purgative, and that whole day and night she simply passed stool, and she preserved the stool in a pot. The next night, when the man came to see her, she appeared very ugly and emaciated. The man inquired from her about the woman from whom he had an engagement. She replied, "I am that very woman." The man refused to believe her, not knowing that she had lost all of her beauty due to the violent purgative that caused her to pass stool day and night. When the man began to argue with her, the woman said that she was not looking beautiful because she was separated from the ingredients of her beauty. When the man asked how she could be so separated, the woman said, "Come on, I will show you." She's then shown him the pot filled with liquid stool and vomit. And thus the man became aware that the beautiful woman is simply a lump of matter composed of blood, stool, urine, and similar other disgusting ingredients. This is the actual fact, but in a state of illusion, man becomes attracted by the illusory beauty and becomes a victim of Maya. King Puranjana begged his queen to return to her original beauty. He tried to revive her just as a living entity tries to revive his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful. All the beautiful features of the queen can be compared to the beautiful features of Krishna consciousness. When one returns to his original Krishna consciousness, he becomes steady and his life becomes successful. So there's two different levels of this purport. One is talking about the so-called beauty of the woman, and the other is the actual beauty of Krishna consciousness. I wanted to go into the first one a little deeper, but the wonderful Prabhupada has told it so nicely. I'm just going to read it to you. It's so wonderfully told. The story of Vibhavandana Thakur. Prabhupada told it so expertly. I'm just going to just see how Prabhupada told the story. Let's see, where is it? There's a nice verse of Vibhavandana Thakur. He lived for 700 years in Vrindavan, and he became a great devotee of Krishna. He lived for 700 years in Vrindavan, and he became a great devotee of Krishna. In the beginning, he was an impersonalist. His life is very nice. It better decide his life. He was a South Indian Brahmin, a very rich man, and very much sensuous. He kept one prostitute. So he was so much, devoted to the prostitute. He was performing his father's death ceremony, and he was asking the priest, "Please haste, please make haste, I have to go. Means prostitute's house. So he was a very rich man, priestly. Anyway, he finished that business. Then there was ceremony. He took very nice foodstuff in a bag and he was going to that prostitute's house. And when he came out of his home, oh, it was raining torrently. You see? So he never cared for that raining. He went to the riverside. Oh, there was no boat. And it was the river was waving. The waves were very furious. And he thought, how can I go to the other side? He was daily going to the other side of the river. Then anyway, he swimmed over, crossing over by swimming. Then the prostitute thought, oh, today it is raining and he may not come. So she blocked the door and went to sleep. When he came to the house, he saw, oh, the door is blocked and it is raining still. How should I go? So he crossed over the wall by catching one snake. Just see how intensely he was attached. And he went to the prostitute and she was astonished. Well, Bibha Mangala, his name is Bibha Mangala, how did you dare to come here like this? Oh, he described, yes, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. Oh, the prostitute was astonished. Her name was Chintamani. So the prostitute said, my dear Bibha Mangala, if you got so much intense for me, oh, had it been for God, for Krishna, how would have been your life sublime? Oh, that struck him. Yes. He had once left and run away. Yes, you are right. Then he was going to Vrindavan. He saw another beautiful woman because he was practiced to that habit. So he was going behind and he determined, although he determined, now I'm going to Vrindavan, and the way he became attracted by another woman. So he followed that woman. That woman belonged to a respectable family, so he came, and the woman said to her husband, oh, this man is following me. Please ask, what is the idea? So the husband asked, my dear sir, you appear to be a very nice gentleman, and you belong to a very aristocratic family. Your appearance, I understand. What do you want? Why are you following my wife? He said, yes, I'm following your wife because I want to embrace her. Oh, you want to embrace? Come on, embrace. Come on. You're welcome. Come on. So the wife also, she ordered, oh, here is a guest. So the wife also, he ordered, so here is a guest. He wants to embrace you and kiss you, so please decorate yourself nicely so that he may enjoy. So the wife followed the instruction of the husband and became, because the wife's duty is to follow the instruction. And Bibha Mangala came inside before the woman. He said, my dear mother, will you kindly give me your hairpins? Yes, why? I have got some business. Then he took the hairpin and at once pierced his eyes. Oh, this eye is my enemy. And he became blind. He became blind. Then all of them, that's all right. Now no more I shall be disturbed. So in this blindness he was penancing austerity in Vrindavan. So the grace of Krishna came like a boy. Oh, my dear sir, why you are starving? Why don't you take some milk? Oh, who are you, my dear boy? Oh, I am a boy of this village. I'm a cowherd boy. If you like, I can give you daily some milk. All right. So Krishna supplied him milk. So there was friendship. And he has written that bhakti is such a thing. Mukti, mukti lanjali sevate asmin. Mukti is nothing to me. On this verse, mukti mukha balanjali sevati asmin. So we have no desire for mukti. When Krishna comes to supply milk, oh, then what is the use of mukti? You see, that's a great soul, Bibha Mangala Thakur. It is worth to remember his name. For 700 years, he lived in Vrindavan and he has written a book which is called Krishna Karnamrita. That is a very authoritative book, Krishna Karnamrita. Lord Chaitanya picked up this book and he recommended all his devotees to read that Krishna Karnamrita book. So here we see the Bibha Mangala Thakur is completely a maddened, lusty character. Totally maddened, lusty character. But by the grace of Krishna, he became the most liberated soul that for 700 years he lived in Vrindavan and Krishna was personally coming to bring milk to him. So, we certainly find ourselves in this Kali Yuga to be very fallen souls also in many ways, you see. It's a Kali Yuga, we're all polluted with this nonsense, garbage consciousness. So Biva Mangala Thakur can become liberated. We can also become liberated souls, qualified to have direct contact with Krishna. There's another nice example. That's Jamunacharya Albani of South India. He was keeping, as a king, he had a harem also. He was enjoying with so many girls, different sexual pleasures. But now he's become a devotee of the Lord. He's given a very nice poetry. Yadavari mamma chitta krishna bhavaravinde nava nava rasa damanyat shirantu vasit tadavari bhattanari sangame smaryamane bhavati muku nishtivanam cha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, relishing nava nava rasa, ever increasing sweetness in that service, never due to my past misdeeds, I think about enjoying sex life with a woman, my lips curve with distaste, and I spit at the thought. So it's another nice example. Somebody was totally enamored by women, and now he has no desire for that so-called pleasure anymore, you see. That liquid beauty, you see. It's a nice example, liquid beauty. Would you like to eat some stew and urine out of a pot, you see? So our desire to enjoy sex life is just like wanting to take a pot of stew and urine and eat it, you see. So we have that vision, we have that consciousness, we remember these points, you see. We see a beautiful girl, we'll think, oh, that's my mother. And I think, oh, maybe I can enjoy with that girl. No. Krishna consciousness means more desire for this mundane sex life. Of course, a householder, he can produce saintly children, but also he's not interested in sex pleasure. For the householder, he will not try to have all kinds of sexual pleasures with his wife. No. Simply, they want to have a child. Then once in a month, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, they have sex life and that's it, finished. Other than that, brahmachari. Brahmachari, brahmacharini, you see. So we have to learn how to get this higher taste. It's a very, very important thing. The difficulty is we're still enamored by this material energy. And that's why we're up and down all the time in our consciousness, sometimes happy, sometimes not happy, because we're still enamored by the material nature. We have to realize this material nature offers nothing to us. There's nothing there that's actually enjoyable in this material nature. The only real enjoyment is to come to our original constitutional position of a loving relationship with Krishna or God. That is our natural position. It's like the fish belongs in the water. He can't be happy flapping in agony on the beach, trying to squeeze some pleasure on the land. This material nature is like a fish being on the land. He can't enjoy it. No matter what you may do to try to enjoy here. You see, no matter how much money you have, no matter how pretty a girlfriend you may have or whatever, you may become famous or powerful, anything you may acquire in the material world, even a big position like President of the United States or Prime Minister of Australia, he may have a big position here, or a demigod ruling a whole planet, is it? But still, there's no pleasure to be had. This is Marchaloka, the world of death. Even if you're Brahmaji, Lord of this whole universe, have a whole universe under your control. There's millions and billions of universes. Each has a Brahmaji, you see. Ours is a tiny universe, only a four-headed Brahma. There's a universe with a 40-headed Brahma, a 400 Brahma, 400-headed Brahma, a 4,000-headed Brahma, a 40,000-headed Brahma, a 400,000-headed Brahma, a 4,000,000-headed Brahma, big universes, you see. There's so many universes. Even if you're a Brahmaji with your whole universe, you cannot be happy unless you come to the position like our Brahmaji did, of becoming Krishna conscious. Our Brahmaji has given us such nice prayers, Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakara sanma sukal padriksha Lakshavrateshu Shubhaviravipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrushatasam Ramasevyamanam Govindaradi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Tending the cows and the roads, built the spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. So we have become like our Brahmaji, devotees of Krishna. And our Brahmaji became so powerful, he's the head of all Sampradaya. We're actually in that Sampradaya. We're coming from Brahma Sampradaya. So we have to take advantage of this Sampradaya coming down through all these great Vedacharyas. Even Krishna himself reappeared as Lord Chaitanya in this Sampradaya. And he sent such great personality. His divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharjan Asatarasana Shishi Maresi Bhakti Vedanta Trinandi Goswami Maharaj to the Western countries. This movement was going on within India for many centuries, but it had not left India. There was an attempt by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura to send some devotees to London. They were not successful. But this great, great disciple, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was successful in spreading Krishna consciousness to the Western countries. So now we can take full advantage of this Krishna consciousness process, give up our being enamored by this pot of stool and vomit, this sex desire, give it up, just kick it out of the boot. Maya Devi, I'm not interested anymore in your charms, I just want Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey! That's all I need. Actually, Krishna means greatest pleasure. So if you have the greatest pleasure, who wants some inferior so-called pleasure? Whatever pleasure you can have in this material world is actually illusory. But simply these two syllables, Krishna, there's unlimited pleasure. If we can just learn how to chant Krishna without any offense, you see, become pure chanters of these holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can be swimming in an unlimited ocean of bliss 24 hours a day. We have to learn how to become detached from all the so-called happiness and distress of this material existence. Very nicely described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Very wonderfully he describes how a person who does not rejoice upon achieving something pleasant, nor lament upon attaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, undergirded, and knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always entranced, relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So we have to master this art of concentrating on the Supreme, Krishna consciousness. How to bring the mind always back to Krishna, to Krishna, to Krishna, to Krishna. Now is Krishna just some sound vibration? No. The beauty of Krishna consciousness is when you're actually Krishna conscious, the person of Krishna becomes manifest right there with you. In other words, Krishna himself is his name. And even remembering Krishna, even if you just think of Krishna, that remembrance of Krishna is not just a remembrance of Krishna. Krishna himself is present in that remembrance. So we learn this art of always thinking about Krishna, always chanting Krishna. You see, Krishna will actually become personally present with us at every minute. It's like he was present with Devamandala, bringing the milk. Just as Krishna would bring in the milk, Krishna can be that much present with us wherever we may be. It's not that he can only come to you when you're in Vrindavan. Even at your office, Krishna can be there with you. Or your school, or your commuting, or wherever you are. If you learn how to fully absorb yourself in giving yourself to Krishna, now my dear Krishna, I belong to you. I'm your puppet now, my Lord. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. I'm just your puppet. You pull the strings and I will dance. We have to put ourselves in the hands of Krishna. We have to trust Krishna, completely trust him. And we have that saying in America, and some still on the currency, and God we trust. But they don't know who God is, that's the problem. Never the son of atheism. It's actually quite a shame. When I was a kid in the U.S., in high school, every morning we'd have the Lord's Prayer. It's a nice prayer, actually, in any way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see? It was a very nice prayer, but then one lady, Madeline, her name was Madeline over here, she didn't like it that her kid had to hear the prayer, so the Supreme Court was so kind to that one lady that, so your child will not have to hear the Lord's Prayer. We'll ban Lord's Prayer from the whole United States of America. Why not let the little kid go in a different room? You see, but the Supreme Court didn't have, because they're mediators, they didn't have any brains. But we could just make a special arrangement if an atheist kid can go to another room during the prayers going on. But no, completely ban the prayers from the school. So we kicked out the prayer, and then what came in? Drugs and illicit sex. It came predominant, you see. And they kicked out the prayer. So we have to have some proper leadership in the world right now. These prime ministers, these high court judges, these people don't have proper brains. We need to now have proper persons in the government, Krishna conscious persons, just like we have that Tulsi Gabbard in the U.S., you see, in the government, congresswoman. We need to have Krishna conscious people in the leadership positions all over the world now. Government, in business, the entertainment industry, in every industry, we need to have Krishna conscious men and women, you see. So we can actually change the whole shape, the whole style of life on this planet, you see. These meeting restaurants, they should all be closed down. Only Krishna Prasadam restaurants should be there, you see. On the entertainment industry, Hollywood, it should all be Krishna conscious movies, you see. This way the slaughterhouses should be closed down, the abortion clinics should be closed down. We should have a completely Krishna conscious atmosphere on this planet. Just like 5,000 years ago. We need to bring during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, Ram Raja. We need to bring that Krishna conscious atmosphere back. So the more we distribute the books, the more we have the Harinams and Kirtan, the more we cultivate, the more we distribute the Prasadam, the more we ourselves become pure, that will have an uplifting impact on the entire world. So even in our own japa, you see, even our own japa can have an uplifting impact. The more we become purified, the more we become free of all the offenses and against Vaishnavas, against the holy name, against the deity, offenses against the holy Dham. There's many offenses that we can make. The more we can get free from these offenses and actually enter that mood where we can feel how Krishna is present with us at every minute and blessing us and smiling upon us with his loving kindness, we see. The more we can actually enter that mood where we can feel how Krishna is with us and blessing us, then Krishna will give us the power and the potency to convince these fools and rascals to give up this so-called civilization, which is nothing but a chaotic mess, actually. It may appear to be a civilization, but actually it's a chaotic mess that's going on in the world right now. A chaotic mess. We need to now bring back Krishna to the center of the society. Ishabashamidam sarvam yatkinja jagatam jagat tena chitena bunjita magrida kushasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for oneself, which is set aside as one's quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. Well, you have to understand who's the actual owner of everything. And we should only accept for ourselves whatever we can engage in His service. One should not accept more than one's quota. Your quota is whatever you can engage in Krishna's service. That's your quota. If you can engage the all-overwhelming Krishna's service, then do it. Whatever you can engage in Krishna's service, that's your quota. Anything you can engage in Krishna's service, don't claim it as your own. Give it up. So in this way, we have to cultivate our own purity very sincerely, very seriously. At every moment, strive for purity in our consciousness. Purity in our relationships with devotees. Purity in our relationship with our family members. Purity in our relationships with everyone. Purity in our relationship with the holy names, the deities, our spiritual master. You see, sometimes devotees get carried away by material desires. They want to violate the principles, thinking they'll be more happy if they violate the principles. This is gross ignorance. You cannot be, it may appear that you make some arrangement which is not in accordance with the principles, it may be better for your peace of mind, but actually it's an illusion. Only by strictly following these guidelines coming down from Srila Prabhupada can you be truly happy. Anything else is an illusory happiness, so-called happiness. So let us understand our only true happiness is to become pure devotees of Krishna. There's no other happiness that exists. Do you think there's any happiness besides being Krishna's pure devotee? Kick it out, it's an illusion. Your only happiness is becoming the pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore, we should diligently, intensely, with great enthusiasm, determination and patience, cultivate pure devotional service on an ongoing business at every minute. From the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed at night, always be cultivating that route. I must bring myself to pure devotional service. I must bring myself to total surrender to Guru and Krishna. I must bring myself to that consciousness of pure devotional service. It's my only business. That should be the constant mood of every single devotee. How can I perfect my consciousness? How can I get free from all this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, illusion, envy? These things are great enemies. Jayato Vishayam from Sangatesha Pajayate, Sangat Sandayate Kama, Kama Trodo Vijayate. Kravdad bhavati sammahat smriti vidrama smriti bhamshat buddhi nasho gurina shatta nashyati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment from them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, bloop! You fall down again into the material pool. So don't contemplate the objects of the senses thinking, how can I enjoy that? No. Understand, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. Instead of trying to get some separate enjoyment outside of Krishna consciousness, just understand your only real happiness is to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. With your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. By having that determination and enthusiasm and being patient, because it takes time to develop it. Is it? It takes time. You have to dedicate yourself your whole life. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It's like I've been doing this almost 50 years now. You got to dedicate yourself to this process. Even if it takes a million lifetimes, it's okay. My determination is to become a pure devotee, become qualified, regain my original identity I once had in the pastimes of Krishna before I foolishly tried to think that something better might be something better than that. So in this way, if you'll focus your mind and stay always focused, and never be an anxiety in any situation. Just keep that focus to awaken that love of Krishna, to manifest those loving feelings towards Krishna at every minute throughout your day. And I guarantee you, every day will be the sweetest, most thrilling adventure you ever have. So we have a few minutes left. Are there any questions? Let's see if we have any on the internet. No questions on the internet. Any local here?
So you gave an example about how the Supreme Court got rid of saying religious prayer in classrooms.
Example of?
The getting rid of religious prayer in classrooms in the U.S. Like, they wouldn't say the Our Father anymore.
What's she getting rid of? The prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sugar, that she's asking, the way you said the Supreme Court removed the prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
That just shows an example of how society is having an increasingly negative view towards religion and God.
That shows how the society is having a negative...
I'm becoming more godless and irreligious, absolutely.
So, when we're preaching, I find it quite hard, especially towards young people, to actually say what we are as a society. Like, I don't know how to explain it without pushing them away, because a lot of young people just don't like the word religion anymore, so I just don't know how to explain it.
So, to me, it is found very difficult to convey to the young people, or preach to the young people, that... this is not some religion. This is something we are doing for our...
How do you present this? Yes. They don't think, oh, religion. Oh, yeah, it's very simple. This is the science. We can explain the whole thing without even saying the word religion. This is the science of reconnecting with the original, all blissful, all cognizant, eternal nature. Why should you suffer unnecessarily misidentifying with that which is a source of misery, when you can instead be relishing the sweetest happiness of identifying with your actual, eternal, fully cognizant nature. See, I presented it in a scientific way. Religion, they don't understand what it really means. Religion comes from the Latin word religia, which means to relink. So the true meaning of religion is yoga, actually, to relink with the source of your existence. So we don't really teach religion in the mundane sense. We teach you in the science how to re-link with your eternal blissful nature. That's the true meaning of religion. See, religion is misunderstood. People don't understand what religion means. Religion means to reconnect with your actual eternal nature. It's like, the example is like some... The son of a multi-millionaire, you see. His father's a billionaire, actually. So the son is very wealthy, but then he goes out, he wants to go on a hiking trip. He goes off alone to the woods to climb a mountain, and he falls down, and he hits his head, and he goes into amnesia. He forgets who he is. He's wandering in the wilderness with no money, no food, and great difficulty. He's suffering from the amnesia. He forgot he's the son of a rich man. He forgot how he doesn't know how to get home to his rich father's house, you see. So some friend who knows him, oh, we found you. We're wondering where you were. Now we're going to take you back to your father's house, you see. So our position is to take people back to their original relationship with that supreme person, who has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. So the word religion is very badly abused. They don't know what it actually means. So we don't use that word to everyone. You don't have to use the word religion. Say, this is not religion. You can even say, this is not religion. This is the science of reconnecting with your eternal spiritual transcendental nature beyond all suffering. You can even say it's not really religion in the mundane sense. We have to learn how to present it in such a way that that particular audience, we might always want to have a wow factor there, you see, in the way you explain it. You have to judge your audience and speak in such a way that they go, wow. You want to have a wow factor in our preaching. They go, amazing, I've heard of my whole life. That's how we want to preach. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, as you said, that in the other universes there are many different Brahmas with
more like, heads, yeah.
With like more than
400 heads, like, yeah. 4,000 heads, 40,000 heads, yes.
So like this Brahma that's in our universe, I have heard that he looked in the four directions, so that's how he got the four heads.
See, our universe is not very big compared to the other universes. That's why he needs four heads. Four heads is enough for this universe.
So
we have a tiny universe.
So then, did the other Brahmas get their heads by looking in different directions, or just...
Oh, there's different... It's like, there's four directions, right? North, east, south, and west. But you can say there's northeast, northwest, and so you can divide it into eight. And you can subdivide it even further. You understand? Just like you can say there's north, there's southwest, southeast, northwest, northeast, you can divide it into, and you can keep subdividing it. If it's big enough, see, if there's a little tiny room, you can just look this. It's like here, the room isn't that big, you can look this way, this way, this way. But if it's a huge area, like 10 million miles long room, you see, then you'd have to look, you can look here, then look here, and look here, and look here, like that. Does that make sense? Next.
Yeah, there is somewhere in the explanation you mentioned that we should look every woman as a mother.
Yeah.
But then, at least to me, it becomes very natural to look someone as a mother if she's elderly than me. But if she's younger or same equal age, then...
That requires training. That requires training. You haven't trained your mind well enough yet. You have to train your mind more. It requires further mental training. Because younger women are very attractive. They didn't say that. Younger women especially. Very important thing. That we carry the way. Namely. Romeo, Juliet. We don't want that kind of attraction, you know. Sex attraction is that sometimes even actually many eon iskan, many devotees have fallen down to the sex attraction. Be very careful. Tapasa Brahmacharena. Shalena Chalena. Chalena Sakshushav Shalom Chalena Kinena. Everyone should cultivate Brahmachari consciousness. If you ever have Papa is Grihastha Brahmachari. We have every ashram is Brahmachari ashram in ISKCON. In our Vedic culture, you have Brahmachari, Grihastha Brahmachari, Vanaprastha Brahmachari, and Sannyas Brahmachari. Everyone Brahmachari. That my love is Krishna. My attraction is Krishna. See, that would be true. We can use sex attraction in Krishna's service, but not for enjoyment. If you use sex attraction for enjoyment, you've lost your Krishna consciousness. And you may not go, you most likely take birth again too. You won't go back to God. If you're married by sex desire, you will not go back to God. You have to be attracted to Krishna. We have to train ourselves to be attracted to Krishna. Next. Everyone satisfied? Yes.
I have this fear of losing my individuality if I just go 100% out of the Krishna consciousness.
I have a fear of losing my personal identity if I go 100% in Krishna consciousness.
Wow. I have a fear of losing my personal identity if I go 100% in Krishna consciousness. You are in a great state of illusion.
More towards individuality.
Huh?
More towards the individuality. Individuality.
I'll delude your individuality.
Yes.
So I think you don't understand what it's like in the spiritual world. That in the spiritual world, the individuals are so much powerful than individuality that Krishna becomes a sold-out servant. Let's look at it like this. There's five primary rasas, right? Correct? But there's an infinite number of subdivisions. It's not that, well, if I'm in Gopi Bhav or in Goka Bhav or in this Bhav, I'm just kind of like a, you know, I'm just like a military man in the formation. No. There's unlimited subdivisions. Actually, every single devotee in the spiritual world has a unique rasa. Unique, totally individual, unique rasa. Within the category of being a gopi, or a gopa, or a cow, or a flute, or whatever you may be, a dhoti, or you know, a peacock feather. Even the peacock feather is a devotee. The peacock feather in Krishna's head is a devotee, in his hair, you see. So actually, every single relationship is totally unique. More unique than your so-called individuality in this material world. Much more unique than that. So if you're wanting uniqueness, you're desiring uniqueness, then you're a fool to not become a pure devotee of Krishna. Because actually here, you're simply a rubber stamp of the modes of nature, rubber stamped robot of the material modes of nature. In the spiritual world, your true individuality becomes awakened. You see? So if you value individuality, then you need to go back to Godhead. Because there, your true individuality will become I can tell you right now, you have a certain identity in the spiritual world, which is totally unique. No one else has an identity exactly like yours. And Krishna, there's another way of looking at it like this. Just like in a love feast, you know. Every prep has its own flavor, right? So, Krishna's, in the spiritual world, Krishna is enjoying this humongous love feast with an infinite number of preps. And every single devotee there's a certain flavor and a taste he gets from that particular relationship with that particular devotee he can't get from anybody else. So don't cheat yourself by denying yourself your real uniqueness. Take the pure bhakti as your only business. And your true, your absolute, your most unique individuality, there's not anyone in the spiritual world, there's not anybody that has exactly your nature. So you need to come back to that position. If you value uniqueness, you need to go back to Godhead, because there your true uniqueness and true individuality become fully manifest. So now do that, you become the pure devotee. Kick out your so-called uniqueness of the material existence, which is just a carbon copy. Now you will come to your true uniqueness by pure bhakti. Okay? Next. Yeah.
Just from that question, you said when you go to the spiritual world, you become a flute.
How do you become
a flute? How do you become a
come on?
Flute.
You become a flute.
Yeah, you can be a flute. You say, be a flute? Everybody a Krishna's flute? Now, wait a minute. How often do the gopis get Krishna's lips? The flute gets Krishna's lips more than the gopis do. So actually, the flute would never want to give up being a flute. Are you kidding? Be a gopi? I wouldn't want to be a gopi. They don't get Krishna's lips as much as I do. Every devotee feels that their rasa is the best. And actually, Prabhupada says you can actually switch rasas. The flute wants to be a gopi, the flute could be a gopi, you see. The gopi wants to be a calf. The gopi could be a calf. The calf wants to be... Everybody has, in the spiritual world, everybody has full freedom to be whatever you want to be. No one's locked in. Well, you have to be a flute. Well, I want to be a flute. No one is locked in to any particular... You can be whatever you want to be for Krishna. And you say, well, surely everybody want to be a gopi, right? Because gopi bhava is the best, right? Well, if everyone was a gopi, there wouldn't be any gopis. Because gopi means cowherd girl. There wouldn't be any cows to herd. There wouldn't be any gopis if everybody was a gopi. Is it? So everybody gets to be exactly what they want to be. You go back to Godhead, you can be exactly what you want to be for Krishna. Want to be a gopi? Fine. Want to be a flute? Fine. You want to be Krishna's dhoti? Fine. You want to be, you want to be an amrut of Krishna's mother or his father or his coward boyfriend or his calf or his pet parakeet or whatever is there, you see. You can be that. You will be that. And if you want to switch, you can do them. You're so free in the spiritual world. Here, if you're in a male body, you're stuck. Or a female body, you're stuck. In the spiritual world, you can switch genders if you want to, immediately. If you want to serve Krishna in a different way. And Krishna gives you full freedom. But they don't switch, generally. Everybody's fully satisfied in their rasa. Everybody's completely in bliss in their particular relationship with Krishna. That my rasa is the best rasa. Everyone feels their rasa is the best. And that's why they want to be in that rasa. For them, it's the best. Okay? Anything else? Everybody ready now to become pure devotees? Get out of this nonsense material existence of trying to enjoy in a place where there's only stool and vomit? Shri Bhava Paraki Jaya.